For our message this morning, let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 8. Again, reading in verse 6, which says, "And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove," this is the third time, "which returned not again unto him anymore." In the context of these verses, back in the spring of the year 2319 BC, turned out to be the beginning of a very wet year. After a dry April, on May the 17th, it clouded up and began to rain. And it rained steadily, day and night, for 40 days and 40 nights. Now that's a Texas shower. It rained through June the 25th. And by that time, it was too late to plant the crops. The ground was too wet to plow. Besides that, no one was left to do the work. They'd all been drowned. Noah and his family were the only ones left. And they were on a world cruise on the ark, on which they stayed until May the 27th of the next year. They were on there for a year and 10 days. Pretty good sized trip, wasn't it? And they had nothing but animals for their entertainment. I imagine the monkeys they had on there got tired of dancing, you know. They said, and then they'd listen to the birds chirp a while, and then they'd go watch the kangaroos jump around and all such as that. Well, finally the ark anchored on Mount Ararat back on October the 17th. The waters were drying up, going down, but Noah couldn't tell just how dry the land was yet. On January the 1st, New Year's Day, he had looked out that single window of the ark, and all he could see was water everywhere. He waited patiently for 40 more days. And on February the 9th, he sent the dove out. And we're going to talk about Noah's dove this morning. Have you ever wondered why God used up so much space in the Bible with what many people call insignificant trivia? That's what the average person would call this. But I'm persuaded in my heart that it's very important and that there's a message in it for us. I believe that these things were written for our learning and for our admonition. Amen. True, we have some symbolism here, but don't go overboard on symbols. But as long as you use Bible or biblical interpretation, it's all right. For instance, when God speaks about the waters in the Bible, quite often, by the way, we've got them in abundance here, don't we? Noah's Day. Quite often, they speak of peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. That's Revelation 17, verse 15. So water often represents people, lots of peoples. And the dove, that's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're told in all four of the Gospels, Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3, and John 1, that when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, that the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. Now then, let's get to our message here. Genesis 8. Look at verses 8 and 9 again. He sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. So this dove went out, flew around until it got tired, found no place to land out there on the water, so she returned to the ark to rest. And her return brought the message to Noah that the waters were still out there. It was not safe for him to disembark. There's a lesson to be learned here, because sometimes you and I, like that dove, are flying around out there and there's no place to land. And after a while, we grow tired and weary. Maybe we grow tired in the Lord's work. But you know something? We can always fly back to the ark and find in Christ a place to rest. See, that's one of the lessons I learned out of this. So this first mission of the dove represents the work of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament dispensation. Think about this. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament would come upon men, and then they would work under the direction and the power of that Holy Spirit. But he did not continually dwell with them or abide in them as he does us today. It was completely different in the Old Testament times. Let me give you some illustrations. God gave Moses a pattern for a tabernacle on top of Mount Sinai. And he came down, and he had a lot of help out there, but the people didn't know how to build it. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to form all of these different things that were needed in the service of the tabernacle. So the Holy Spirit of God came upon two men. One of them was named Bezaleel, and the other one was named Aholiab. And he enabled them to make all the things that were necessary for the tabernacle. We learn a lesson here. When God calls somebody to do something for him, he gives them the power, the knowledge, and the ability and the skill to do what he's called them to do. Well, I'm a living example of that. When God called me to preach, I went to my pastor, and I was crying, grown man crying. And he says, "What's the matter?" He thought, you know, there'd been some tragedy in my life or something like that. And there had been, because I, weeping there, I told him between my sobs, I says, "God has called me to preach, and I don't know how." I still don't know how. I've been practicing for 60 some odd years. It's terrible, but you know what? He just kind of grinned and he said, "That's all right, you'll get over it." But God never calls you to do anything but what he equips you to do it. Remember that. Gives you the ability to comply with his calling. Just like Bezalel and Aholiab. And then I think of Samson. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, gave him the strength of 1,000 men. The Bible says in Judges 13:25, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. And in chapter 14, verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily on him. And I'll tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord came mightily on Samson, things happened. Things happened. He slew a young lion in the vineyards of Timnath. He slew 30 Philistines. And in chapter 15, verse 14, he slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. But then after Delilah gave him a haircut while he was asleep, he woke up. And the Bible says that he knew not that the Lord had departed from him. You see, we're talking about the Old Testament dispensation when the Spirit of the Lord would come upon a person and he would do something mighty for God. But then after he had finished, the Spirit of the Lord would not continually abide or dwell with him. He would depart from him. Same thing happened to King Saul. King Saul, in 1 Samuel 19, the Spirit of God was upon him and he prophesied. You know, the Spirit of the Lord came upon these men of the Old Testament and they spake as they were directed by the Lord. They prophesied, "Thus saith the Lord." And some of them wrote the Bible, and they wrote the Bible as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Going back to Saul, some of the people heard him prophesying. They were surprised. Is Saul also among the prophets? But not all the time did he have the Holy Spirit on him. There were times in chapter 16 and 18 and 19, three times it says, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David more than once, but he prayed over in Psalm 51 and he says, "Lord, take not the Holy Spirit from me." You and I can't pray that prayer today because God's not going to take his Holy Spirit from us. But back in the Old Testament days, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person. They would accomplish what God wanted them to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then after the job was done, the Spirit would depart from them. That's what happened. Remember in Luke chapter 1, the Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary, and she conceived and bore a son. They called his name Jesus. And you and I, when you and I got saved, kind of the same thing happened again, because we heard the word of God. The seed of faith was planted in our souls, and we believed in Jesus Christ. And when we believed in him, the Holy Spirit formed Christ in us. Just like he did in the womb of Mary. Well, let's go back to Noah. The dove had come back to him. The waters were still on the face of the earth. He waited a week. And on February the 16th, he sent the dove out a second time. Verse 10 says, and he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. See that? Brought a message to him. All it was, here's a bird flying with an olive leaf in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters were departing off the earth. Now that olive leaf, by the way, always has been and continues to be today the symbol of peace. Peace. That's the world over. Now, the flood was God's judgment on a wicked world. And now the olive leaf that the dove brings to Noah is an indication to him that the judgment is past. It's over. Now watch this one. One night, some angels appeared to shepherds as they watched their flocks in the fields near Bethlehem. And they said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the multitude of the heavenly host shouted, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards you." And when Jesus was baptized, we mentioned this before, by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit descended in the bodily form of a dove and abode upon him, the Bible says. And Jesus said, "Peace be unto you." Paul wrote in Ephesians, said Christ came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. God is called the God of peace. Christ is called the Prince of Peace. He's also called the Lord of Peace. He's also called the author of peace in the scriptures. And he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." On Calvary's cross, the wrath of God was poured out in judgment upon Jesus. He bore the punishment, the penalty for our sins, and he paid our sin debt. He died for us. He took our place, the just for the unjust, that he might reconcile us to God by his own blood sacrifice. And finally, from the cross, he uttered the words, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost. And Colossians 1:20 says, "Having made peace through the blood of his cross." He made peace. On the third day he rose from the dead. Showed himself openly by many infallible proofs. One day, 40 days later, he was standing with his disciples on Mount Olivet, teaching them, and he said to them, "Tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you receive power. And when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me here in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, none of the uttermost parts of the earth." And as he spoke, he began slowly ascending up into heaven. Gravity was turning loose of him. And finally a cloud received him out of their sight. Why? Because the heavenly dove was returning to the ark with an olive leaf, having accomplished the work of redemption and having laid the groundwork for our reconciliation to God through his shed blood. Genesis 8:12. "And he stayed yet another 7 days. And on February the 23rd, that's 2 days before my wife's birthday, on February the 23rd, he sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore." Jesus told his disciples, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," who's the Comforter? The Holy Spirit of God, the heavenly dove, "the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will abide with you forever." 10 days later, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. And now, when a sinner repents and believes and calls upon the Lord, that sweet dove of peace, God the Holy Spirit, descends upon him and saves him and seals him and abides with him and reconciles him to God and bears witness with his spirit of our sonship. He gives us the assurance of salvation. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeps our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus." He's with us as Comforter, as our teacher, as our guide, as our witness, intercessor, advocate. And he is the earnest of our inheritance. And he fills us with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness and gentleness and faith and meekness and temperance. And he gives us gifts of wisdom and knowledge, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And he baptizes us, both Jew and Gentile, bond and free, into one body, which is Christ. And he seals us until the day of redemption. And when the trumpet sounds, he will change us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll come out of the grave in resurrection glory in a new body that's fashioned like unto the body of our glorified Lord Jesus Christ. The heavenly dove we're talking about. God is good. He's gracious. And today we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this wonderful story that we've read here in Genesis about Noah and about the dove and all the wonderful lessons that we learn from it and how it shows us Jesus and His great sacrificial love that He had for us in that He gave Himself for our sins on the cross of Calvary and how that the Holy Spirit is now come to show us these things and to reveal the Word of God to us and to save us by grace. Heavenly Father, if there's one here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today you will speak to their hearts and impress upon them the need of salvation and show them Christ and all of His great love that He has for us. Let your Holy Spirit convict and convince of His righteousness. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in His name we pray. Amen.
497.
Number 497. Let's sing a verse of this invitation song this morning. Maybe God's speaking to your heart to come today. Whatever it is, will you come?
Just as I am with thee,
will you come today? What a wonderful opportunity we have to come to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Sing another verse of that invitation as we sing it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Let Him make the words of this song your prayer today. Wonderful congregation today. Appreciate the attention you gave to the preaching of the word. And may you take Noah's dove home with you in your hearts today. As we're dismissed in prayer, remember the service tonight. We're going to be speaking a little bit differently tonight on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to magnify and exalt Him above everything else. We're going to talk about Him as Lord. And we're going to talk about Him as Jesus and as the Christ. The Christ, the Messiah that came. And so you come out and be with us tonight in our service. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?